I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Before we begin, I want to tell you about another project I have coming up. An improv show I used to host and produce is coming back, online and for one night only. Perfect Match is an improv comedy show where we bring the characters and the audience decides who they want to see perform together. We'll have all your favorite characters, ranging from Yoda to George Costanza to Werner Herzog. The show is February 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Find the full details on my website at kicksandgigglesentertainment.com. Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. Joining us this time, we have half of the Tall Boys. We have Tim Blair.
Hey, it's me, Tim Blair.
And we have Vance Banzo.
Hello.
And the movie we're going to be breaking down is You Wish, a 2003 Disney movie made for TV. I put it on my list of possible movies, but then you surprised me by picking it. Why? And what had you had any of you seen this film before or even heard of it before?
I don't think I've seen it before, but I am a big fan of the Disney movies that they make, yeah, where they just take stars from their TV shows and throw them together into some script. But Vance like suggested it because it's a movie about little brothers and we're both the younger brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a middle child. Okay. So I guess I come at this, I see both perspectives of it, I guess. I have been both burned by an older brother and annoyed by a younger brother. So I guess I'm, yeah, I don't know. Doesn't hit me as hard. Are you guys the youngest or are there?
I'm the youngest of two children. So
okay,
I had nothing but empathy for that kid throughout the entire movie. I felt so bad for him. And when he got yelled at for going to his room, that's what little brothers do.
Yeah,
it's true.
You got to explore. Yeah, I am also the youngest of a dual pair. So, yeah, I was feeling it. Yeah, that kid, you know. But it seemed like his life wasn't so bad for the most part when he got wished away. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Like, it didn't seem like things were too bad for him to be so angry at things. Like, yeah. Both scenarios are still pretty good, his life overall. Even when things go bad, they're like, I don't know, it's not that bad. Yeah. And the kid seems fine too. Like, it doesn't seem that bad off. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like all the stakes in the movie were coming from him. Like, I guess that is because he just misses his brother. It was beautiful.
Okay, I'm gonna give it in case some of our audience didn't watch this movie at all, which fair
would be a shame, real shame.
You have the opportunity to go watch it. It's on Disney Plus. If you already subscribe, you can go and grab it. I'm gonna try a little recap of this thing.
All right.
So there are two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. And the older brother, though he's close with his younger brother, constantly complains about the ways in which he is ruining his life. He goes in his room. He gets jelly on his rollerblades.
Oh, yes.
Which travesty. And he blames him that his parents always take his younger brother's side and don't listen to him. So when his younger brother gets a magic coin from a man at the mall who runs a coin-based business, solely selling coins, called Coin World, and his brother gets trouble for not looking after his younger brother, to apologize, his younger brother gives him this coin and tells him to make a wish. Making a wish, he wishes that his younger brother, he didn't have a younger brother. And when he wakes up the next day, his younger brother is now a TV star that is unrelated to him. And he's an only child, and his life is so much better on the surface in that he is rich, winning awards at school on the football team, and has the hot girl at school that he wanted. But he slowly realizes that all these things are not what he actually wanted. He wanted his old life back. So he sneaks into the film set to visit his younger brother, who is now not his younger brother, abducts this celebrity child with ease. Yeah. Goes on a scavenger hunt to recover the coin, and eventually wishes back his old life, now much more understanding of what he had given up. The end. Any huge plot point you guys feel like I missed out on that was pivotal to this film?
I mean, that was pretty thorough. I one thing I would include is that there seem to be bullies obsessed with food-based pranks. Gary, I think he's one of the pivotal characters of the story.
Yeah. So, his first thing was like to pour an entire pizza that he was carrying with him on the street onto someone's head.
And then call them pizza face, which, like, he put it on the top of the head, and then, it's not even what that means as an insult.
Clear. No, it's supposed to be like an acne thing, right? Like, yeah, pizza face is like you have acne.
Yeah. But, I mean, I love the creativity. Like, that, wow.
It just seemed like such a waste of a pizza. Like, you went to a pizzeria earlier. You bought this pizza clearly with intent. You didn't run into this kid on, like, you weren't searching for him. You just happened to run into him. And then we're willing to throw your whole meal onto his head.
This is like $5. Like, it's the States. It's the early 2000s. It looked like a basic cheese pizza to me.
Like, it's true.
What is that running you? You know, maybe enough for a prank.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're all pooling together, I mean, it's really pennies, you know, if you think about it. But I have a hypothesis that it might just one of the bullies' dad, like, owns the pizzeria in town.
And okay.
That's what I think. Like, I feel like you got to have pizza very readily available to be so cavalier with its use.
And maybe it's like a sort of viral marketing type thing that, like, he's trying to make it a thing that you pizza people to encourage more people to buy more pizzas.
I mean, that delivery outfit looked expensive. Like,
yeah, absolutely. The chicken guy. Yeah.
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 Is that the same business? Did that chicken deliver pizza?
We have to assume.
You went to the party, delivered chicken, I guess.
Oh,
and then he got they pizza, had pizza there.
Okay.
They had pizza at the party.
Wait, so did they only order chicken so that he'd arrive because they had food? Or did they order the pizza so they could pizza the guy and then eat the chicken?
They would have had to order the pizza first, because it could occur that the chicken guy showed before the pizza guy, and then you wouldn't have anything to dunk on his head.
True. Yeah. And so they could be selling pizza and had wings it sitting at the around same place. Uneaten. Yeah.
Yeah, it was still a whole
pizza.
Chicken
guy to arrive. Yeah.
That's the most unbelievable part. You'd have a full pizza at a party that's like the whole building is full of people. Yeah. And no one touched this pizza that was sitting in the kitchen.
People probably were coming around and be like, hey, lay off, all right, just wait for it. It's going to be worth it. There'll be chicken, all right?
Oh, these bullies were bewildering too, because like their chant was just the word dude over and over again. Yeah. I was trying to understand.
I love
how that happened.
Yeah. I feel like that it encapsulate like the early 2000s kind of bro, energy and dynamic. Because I think food-based pranks were popular. Like dudes would ice each other, right? Where you just hide a Smirnoff ice somewhere, and when your bro finds it, you have to drink it, and that's the extent of the prank. Like,
I do remember that, yeah. And I don't remember understanding it at the time either. It never made sense.
But you always had a hangover.
Yeah.
I didn't get iced that much. This must have been such a weird turnaround for the people who made Smirnoff ice, like the canned drink. Because like, yeah, it was pumping up their sales. But the point of the drink, the prank, is that it's terrible.
Yeah. You just suffer through it. But yeah, did they embrace it? I mean, yeah, they probably must have not. I don't know.
It would have been something they would embrace, like, secretly while, like, officially being like, we don't condone this. And then, like, giving money to pranksters to do it to each other. Something like giving it to influencers. Like, yeah, why don't you ice someone on your streams or whatever?
New Smirnoff camouflage cans. You know, they blend in.
Specifically making cans with textures of, like, sofas and curtains and stuff, so it's easier to hide.
It is, like, it's a nice spin on the Easter egg hunt, you know, getting nice. Because you don't get to find things and enjoy them as much as an adult. I mean, just out of the blue, like you have to go to the store. Yeah. Anyway, back to
Okay, so I got some questions about you know what, I'll get your unique perspectives. You guys both said that you really associated with the younger brother in this. I found him kind of annoying, like just as a character sitting on his own, he was a really annoying character. He just screamed and seemed, again, always upset about something, even though things were fine.
Yeah.
But if this happened to you, like if you found out that your older brother had wished you out of their life and then you became like a child star or something, how fine would you be with that? Like, is that a big price, or would you be upset that your brother didn't love you, or were you like, okay, but at least I got this out of it?
Yeah, I think it's a nice trade-off, you know. You move up in the class system. Now you have people working under you. Yeah. Really nice to work for you. He seemed like he had nice-ish parents. They weren't really around, right? You never saw them, but they did you see them at the end?
No, I don't think they ever. His movie parents never showed up. He had his handler, and then at one point he takes a call where this is 2003 horror. His mom is getting remarried, and he's very upset about that.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Will I have to call him dad? He doesn't even call his mom mom. I don't know why that's. He calls his mom Penelope and then goes, do I have to call my new dad dad? No, you don't call me mom. It's fine.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't mind the trade off. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, I think it. I'm good. Yeah, it seemed like the other guy's life also significantly improved. Like the older brother. I mean, it really was a win-win scenario. But I think the movie just like painted like. That apparently it's so awful being an only child and you're just destined to grow up to become a piece of shit, like, because you don't have another brother grounding you. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was presented that, like, he was a jerk in this timeline and that was bad, but he could also just make himself better, like improve himself going forward.
Yeah,
right. Like,
yeah, he has all the resources too. You know,
yeah,
a home gym to really work out some of that anger.
Yeah, home gyms is great. Like, yeah, sure, that's why he's better at football. He has a home gym now. Like, it's fine. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you could like do flips into his seats in class. That was a nice. And it didn't really come up much often in the movie, like how
agile he was. Used that later, right?
He never used that. I didn't understand why he did it or what. So it was just excuse. Like it looks so bad if you look at it perfection of everyone else. Of like he pretends to not know where his seat is, so that when he finally does find it, he can do 3 backflips and land in his seat and get a standing ovation from the classroom. What a narcissistic piece of shit.
From the perspective of like the other classroom, it feels like it's a medical horror where like did Alex suddenly show up with like a brain altering tumor? Like he's just acting super erratic out of nowhere, doing flips and then like kidnapping celebrities. Like it'd be really terrifying to be any of his friends at school.
It's a common trope that people just sort of shake that stuff off in these types of like magic body swapping or memory and changing movies. They'll just be like, huh, you're weird today. Oh, well, no follow up.
Yeah, I'd like really dig into his psychology, figure out what this obsession is with this child star, you know? Let's dig.
Yeah.
That was another thing that really shocked me was like, so his parents like, yeah, no, we don't want you to press charges. We don't want to make a big deal of it. We don't want it in the press either. At that moment where he has abducted a child and been caught and brought back to his parents, they earlier saw him like cutting out pictures of that child, asking way too many questions about that child.
Yeah, it's just he has a very problematic pattern of behavior that the parents are refusing to address. But I mean, I guess that's it when you're an only child. It's like, this is our one kid. I mean, who cares? I mean,
we bought
it's
him
a bit here. Weird. It's fine. He was definitely going to kill that kid. If it wasn't a magic scenario, he was set up to be a murderer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the means of the magic in this one. Magic coin. Do we feel like that was explored enough? How this coin got the magic?
Because the coin world guy was Larry Pendragon. At one point, they're like, maybe he's a wizard? And then that's the only thing they mention on it. And then he also found the coin somewhere. I need more questions where that coin came from.
Pendragon doesn't even make him a wizard, right? Pendragon is Arthur's last, like King Arthur's last name. That's what the reference is.
True.
King Arthur's not a wizard. Unless there was like a secret romance between Arthur and Merlin that I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it could have been.
Hey, let's write it.
Yeah,
let's workshop it. They're magic. They can make a baby happen.
Did he have a thing with Morgana? Morgana was also magic, right? But she was like evil.
I think Morgana had a thing with Merlin.
Oh, okay.
I've recently done a little bit of research on this, just because of a future show I've got coming up with Merlin as a character in it.
Yeah,
and yeah. So I think Merlin and Morgana sometimes have romances because apparently. Merlin's weakness is femme fatales.
Oh.
he can be seduced by evil women.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like, okay, it's a magic coin. Don't worry about it. I don't know where I found it. I've had it for years and I could probably have made a wish on it. But the coin shop guy never made a wish. Like he never once idly held this coin.
No.
Made a wish. He just offered it to the first kid that caught him after he slipped on a French fry.
Maybe he did make a wish and it was for a sustainable coin-only business.
I mean that might be true because it is also interesting because in the world where he's a single child, the coin store it closed because he fell. I thought it closed because it went out of business for a second. Like
Alex, I think he said like it's been on the rocks for a while, and this was the last straw, which is very believable.
Yeah, I mean, coins are so readily available. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're historic coins. That's why people are into them. But I can't imagine, a whole just a coin store.
Like, is this a big city or a small? Do they mention where it is? I think we see like a like the Seattle Needle at one point, but I don't remember if they mentioned what city it's in.
There's a lot of like transitions where you see the cityscape over cool music, which was a killer soundtrack.
Oh, great!
I gotta say, amazing. Encapsulated the early 2000s. So many bangers. For every mood.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Vanessa Carlton.
Yes.
They play the entirety of her song, I think, at some point for a moody difference. Montage.
Yeah.
But is it a big enough city to sustain a coin only business?
I guess you just got to charge a lot of
it. Seems like there's only two people for two people in this whole thing that like coins, and it's like this one kid and his friend.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Anything else stand out to you guys about this movie?
Oh, I was just thinking about that gorgeous coin book he had when he was an only child. Really, really nice. And what was he keeping his coins in before? It was like a sack, a bag.
Yeah.
I thought he had a great life. Also, the blue walls. I love the blue walls.
Think really drum really set good. And a pinball machine. That's better than a brother. I give my brother a drum set
for a pinball machine. I think it's a good trade. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like they're two good activities to do back to back. You know, different kinds of dexterity.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, fingers versus whole hand. Yeah, here we go.
But it's all rhythm. It's all rhythm. You know, I feel like after completing an intense solo, you're looking at the pinball machine in a new light. You're just hearing the sounds and the knockers. Whatever they're called. I don't know if that's the name.
Paddles, maybe?
Yeah.
Bumpers.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, do you guys remember the who's on first moment in this movie?
I do not. What was that?
So it's right after he makes the wish, he starts his new life, and the name of the show that the kid is on is Where's Stevie, which is his original name. And they do a Who's on First style joke run where it's like, where is Stevie? Yes, I know, the show you like. No, where is he? Who? Stevie. The guy from the TV. Like, and they just do that thing, but for like, you know, 5 minutes straight with the parents. And I couldn't decide if it was the most clever thing in this film or just the worst thing to ever do. Like a sacrilege against a proper Who's on First.
I loved it so much I yelled at the TV first base.
That's how you react to love? You yell at a TV?
Yes!
What are some other things that change in his life just because of a brother going away?
He's not friends with those people anymore. Those two. They're a pretty big part of the film. I don't remember their names, but
Abs and James.
That's Abs and James sounds about right.
He wasn't friends with them, and then they had a budding relationship. I don't know. He just missed her, I guess. Oh, that was a nice B plot, you know.
Yeah, and it's like it was nice that, and they didn't even like. That wasn't the crux of the movie. It was definitely a brother movie. Like, they didn't like fall in love at the end, but he like definitely learned not to take her for granted. I think my favorite sequence with those two is, I mean, right at the beginning of the movie, which I feel like is one of my favorite pieces of 2000s culture, is when they have that slime water gun fight, because I loved how important slime was back then. And it's legit one of the coolest things as a kid. Just a weird amorphous material.
Yeah, it looked like toothpaste coming out. They're just spraying each other with slimy toothpaste.
Yeah, and like water gun fights are already pretty fun as is. There's no need to up the stakes, but hey, why not?
I think you are right that too, like late 90s, early 2000s, basically all kids programming found an excuse to slime someone.
We got
to get like a whole game show that was just like,
oh yeah,
we slime you half the time.
Yeah, was there a prize, or was it just you don't get slime?
I don't remember. Yeah, I think half the things like, okay, so either you answer our trivia question, and if you get it right, we don't slime you, or you'd be like, oh, here's time for an obstacle course. You're just gonna jump in slime, and maybe you'll win a Nerf gun or something. Because they're kid prizes; they're not like money or cars or anything.
Do you think the slime craze was at all like inspired by Carrie? They're like, what if we could do this, but in a fun way? You know, it's the most humiliating thing possible, but who knows?
Yeah, do you think it was just like a children's television producer was watching Carrie and just a light went off in his head? He screamed, I got it. And everyone else got very worried knowing what his occupation was and what he had just seen.
Yeah. So that's how you make an auditorium full of children laugh. All right. Okay. All right. Make note. Not going to see what happens afterwards.
Stop this movie. I can't see further. It would have been great if that inspired the 2010 craze of just lighting auditoriums on fire. I think the weird argument that he made in his like first life is that like she made a move on him, like, hey, you want to go skating together, like on a date, insinuating it. He's like, no, I'm busy. He's like, yeah, I don't want to date her because like that would make me seem uncool. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How is being single in high school more cool than dating your close friend who's fine? Like not even like not even exaggerated as like a loser or anything. Just yeah. like a bit quirky is like all she gets.
Yeah,
that, I mean, he really had it backwards. Yeah. and he was so in love with that girl who like was making fun of him at the football game and everything.
Yeah, which again, that didn't make sense either. It's like, your family's here to cheer you on? What a loser. You have loving, supportive parents. What? I think all the bullies and mean people in this game, in this movie, need to step up their harassment game, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't encourage that.
God, that it's a perfect level where it's like it's almost harmless, but it really is, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna make fun of how well you have it, and I'm gonna share my food with you aggressively, I guess, is how I'll frame it.
Yeah, there's that milk dump too. A lot of food on hand.
Mm-hmm. What was the milk? Oh yeah, milk. Yeah.
When he was talking to Abs as the popular guy, yeah.
Oh, and it looked chunky. It was thick. That was pretty much, I was like, yeah,
yeah, definitely had texture to it.
How do we feel about a turkey as a pet? I don't know. That's just another thing to bring up. That was oh really my weird. God, this
I completely
movie.
Forgot about the turkey pet. Yeah. Wow.
Oh yeah.
that's like one of the biggest like. I can't believe he was able to change his opinion on that. He hated having a dog that much. But they really made it sound like that dog was like it just drooled and farted constantly. But I feel like it would still be nice to have a dog.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you expect from a dog. That dog's not doing anything undog-like.
And yeah. it was the kids. It wasn't a family dog. It was the teenager's dog. It lived with him. It was like, how's your dog today? Like,
yeah,
I thought that was great.
And it's not like chickens don't also smell bad.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like you don't housebreak a chicken to not poop in your house. Like it's gonna.
But it was a good scene when after he wished the turkey away, you got to see it get carted off to do a Thanksgiving dinner. Like, yeah, that was traumatic. I almost teared up.
It was it's like we need one more thing to go wrong in this universe to push him over the line. And yeah. It's his pet turkey.
Gobble gobble.
Being gobble yeah, gobble gobble. Not the most original name for a turkey.
Nah. But I'd be interested in having a turkey as a pet, like, cuz I feel like a lot of people have tiny birds, but why not have a bigger bird pet that walks around, cuz you don't want your bird to fly away anyway. Like you're going to lose a bird, so might as well have a flightless one.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's intelligent. I totally agree with you.
I've heard that turkeys are specifically unintelligent. I remember hearing this, which was it popped in my head. I was watching the movie because when the turkey returns, it's outside and it's raining. But turkeys are known to drown themselves in the rain because they'll look up and then they're just not dumb enough to turn their head back down and they'll like drown standing up. So that could have been dangerous for the turkey in that end part of the movie.
I know turkeys are famous for not needing their brain to still live basically the same life they live now. Because there's a famous turkey named Henry the Turkey that like the farmer that was butchering the turkey for dinner tried to go as far up the neck as he could when he chopped it. And when he chopped off its head, it just didn't die.
Yeah.
So then they brought it to do like the county fair circuit, just feeding it with grain down its throat through an eyedropper, and it stayed alive for like months afterwards with no head.
That's beautiful. I respect that as just a philosophy. Like, yeah.
Live like a life. My life is so simple. I could continue living with no thought whatsoever. Yeah. Let's all live the turkey life going forward.
Now I finally understand why calling someone a turkey is such an insult. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, it's still not that great an insult. You can still do better. Still workshop it if all you've got is turkey.
Yeah. I think it's in terms of the poultry insult scale, I'd say it's slightly above being called a chicken. I feel like being a turkey is worse than being a chicken.
Chicken's more specific. They're saying you're not brave, but then turkey is just like, yeah, everything about you in an undefined way,
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah.
All right, we'll try to wrap this up by being a bit more personal then. So how do you think, you know, I know you guys are the younger in your family, but still, if you were to make this wish, I could imagine being pushed, having a bad day. Maybe you got bullied by your older brother. You got pushed. You got a magic coin falls in out of the sky and lands in front of you and you wish your brother away. How do you think your life would change if you didn't have your older brother, if you were the only child?
I think it's definitely, I don't think it's a wish I'd want to make as a younger brother, where I think my life would be a lot harder, because I think being a younger brother, your older sibling just carves a lot out of the way for you, and you can just, you know, follow in their footsteps or avoid the mistakes they made. Like, I feel like, yeah, I would have just had a bit of a tougher upbringing. Like, not, yeah, I don't know. It gives you insight to, like, whatever the age gap, you know, what your life is going to be like that years down the road.
Yeah, I feel like I did use my older brother as a sort of canary for, like, what things not to do in my life, with a 2-year warning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember he got a lot of trouble from my parents for, like, not signing up for enough, like, bursaries and scholarships in his last year of high school. So then when I got there, I was like, well, I don't want to get yelled at. So I was able to afford university. Like, that worked out.
Perfect. Yeah. And a canary, I think, is also the lightest of the bird
insults. Puns?
Yeah.
You're very useful, but you do end up dying. The canary doesn't survive being a canary.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a martyr ship, you know, you're dying for everybody else.
Okay. The noble canary.
Yeah.
What about you, Vance?
My brother's actually just outside my door, so I can't answer as honestly as I'd like. But what would my life be like? I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't be babied. You know, when you're the second or the youngest, you get babied, and I'd probably be more self-sufficient now, I'd say. I'd be able to just go through my life without, like, wondering. Like, today I remembered I was like, oh yeah, like, my mom, like, cut my toenails, like, pretty late into, like, 13.
Because
I wouldn't anyways.
So you're a 13-year-old boy and you're just like, hey mom, I need my nails clipped, and just sitting on, like, the couch.
My feet hurt.
Oh, you don't even growing. You're going for the record of long.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so about your older brother, like, kind of just being like a canary for the future. I definitely did. I kind of modeled my, I thought my brother was so cool. My brother's so cool. So I just kind of wanted to model my behavior or the way I spoke, or, you know, after my brother. And I think that really helped me out, you know, for, like, maybe I seemed pretending to be someone else really put me ahead of the class.
That's one thing I definitely agree with, and I noticed with my older brother, and I kind of resent at times, but, like, yeah, he's still so cool to me, and, like, was such a tastemaker. Like, if I had, like, something I didn't like one time my mom got me a pair of shoes that I really hated, and my brother just offhanded me, like, oh, those are sick, and I was like, and also my, I love the shoes. They were really cool. But, like, it's, yeah, he has so much power over me.
I agree. My older brother definitely had power over me, but I felt like I looked up to him, and I felt he sometimes used that power for evil. Like,
oh, yeah.
not like horrendous evil. Like, he wasn't, like, bullying me so much, but, like, so one of my things I liked about my brother is he'd, like, design his own games.
Oh, wow.
And then I really like game design still. Like, I like that idea. But he designed games, and then I could eventually catch on that he was, like, changing the rules so that he would always win, or that he would just, like, be more of a struggle for me. Like, it's so frustrating because, yeah, he had complete power and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, but I feel like there was definitely like I think roles. Like I always felt, yeah, my brother, you know, they any game they're most likely to win, but it was also my job as the younger brother to try and annoy them and get them upset, and like that's the only way I could fight back.
Right, you change the rules. It's not about winning by the rules of the game anymore. It's just about getting a rise out of your older brother.
100%, and that's why I definitely emphasize with the Stevie's habit to just yell, "He's hitting me!" Like that's your right hook as a younger brother. I mean, you can't beat them up. You got to get the parent involved.
That didn't feel like a little sociopathic to any of you.
No, that was a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh geez. Yeah, I guess since I had a younger brother who then I very quickly like had both sides of a relationship with, so like I stopped being as annoying to my older brother once I had a younger brother that was like, oh, this guy's annoying. I should try not to be this.
Oh, true.
Because I'm pretty sure my younger brother there was a lot more time before my sister came along. I have four siblings or four of us all together. So he had a lot more time to being like the youngest to continue to try to annoy me.
Yeah.
And it spent a lot of time being the annoying one with that before he had to realize anything.
Yeah, I think I always knew that I was pretty annoying. I remember like playing my brother's Super Nintendo in his room, knowing I wasn't supposed to be there, playing Donkey Kong Country, knowing like, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. He might hit me or yell at me, but I was pretty sure that I had the power to do what I wanted.
You were running the show.
Yeah.
There was no like fear or taboo. It was just like, yeah, you'll get yelled at and then I will turn it against him like immediately.
For sure. I mean, I could always just yell for mom and you know, I'd be okay. You know, he would be in trouble and I would not be in trouble. But I think I justified everything always. Like, do you ever, there is like a game with a knife where you pretend to stab someone with a knife, but you'd let go of the knife. So it would bounce off them and hit the floor. Like you're just trying to scare somebody.
Yeah.
What? No, I have not heard of this game.
You're familiar with this. Played in
this game where you stab someone, but loosely, so you don't stab them.
Yeah. You take the knife and it's loose in your hand, and then you push it up. My brother did this to me. He pushed it up against my body, and it fell out of his hand. And I was so scared, so scared, and so mad. And he was laughing, and then.
That is a legitimate fear. That is a fine, safe, healthy fear to have.
Well, I like completely overreacted.
I don't think you did.
I grabbed the scissors and I chucked them at him. I opened them up like a throwing star. And
you and your brothers have such access to blades.
Yeah, and it's anyways, I won that one.
what is winning in this? The least scars?
who can escalate it the highest?
Who got the force? Yeah, is a game of chicken with deadly force?
Yeah. My brother would do a lot of he'd do a lot of goober yo-yos to me. You know, where like he holds you down and then just drool on top of you, but try and suck the drool up as low as possible, but it would just inevitably slime all over you. That was a big one.
That's gross too. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm feeling a lot nicer about my older brother. I feel like maybe his teasing me of just beating me at games he created is not as bad.
Yeah, you had a good.
I had it too good. I gotta send a message to my brother and apologize for any resentments I've held towards him.
Reconnect.
Yeah.
And hey, why not play a good old game of knife game? I mean, while you're at it.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch, I feel like there's something about a childhood we missed out on, an important bonding experience between older and younger brother. Want to play some knife game? Oh, boy, that's some scary stuff. I think you guys would be perfectly legitimate in wishing your brothers away with the coin. You guys don't have to, but I think it'd be fair. Go ahead. If I get the magic coin, I will lend it to you for wishing them away. Any final thoughts on the film before we wrap up?
Yeah, I love Even Stevens. I love Lizzie McGuire. I'm glad two of those stars got to meet in the movie. You know, I felt there was a parallel universe in both of those worlds.
I don't know either of those properties, so I actually don't know which characters were famous. Like, I was trying to look through the cast list to be like, who's famous? And I assumed the person who was mononymous, Lalaine, must be famous, because you don't go by one name only unless you're famous.
That's the thing is, I don't know if any of them, I guess they were famous for the time, but I don't know how famous they are now. But yeah, it was Alex, the main guy, and Lalaine Abbeys from, she was from Lizzie McGuire, and Alex was Even Stevens. And I think because the movie's about alternate dimensions, I think it's starting its own like Disney cinematic universe between all their sitcoms and made for TV movies.
I'd watch it.
And they own the Avengers. I mean, Nick Fury can enter at any point, is all I'm saying.
And the MCU is going into multiverse stuff. Like, that's where they're headed. So you wish could be important.
Just a matter of time till like every Disney property collides. And Disney, I think there's going to be one show on Disney Plus, but it's everybody's going to be in it.
Yeah, just called The Show.
Yeah.
Everyone's in it. And you do need to watch the 2003 made-for-TV movie You Wish with an exclamation point in order to understand the plot.
Yeah, that's where it all begins.
It all begins here. So we want to encourage all of our listeners to make sure you do watch this film for that sake. Since this one is a little bit more of a tie-in, I normally just do like little credits at the end, but you guys are both Half the Tall Boys, which is a sketch show that's about to be releasing its second season on CBC. And it's kind of why we're putting this together. So you want to tell us a little bit about the next season, just to get your plug in?
Yeah, sure. We just shot season 2 over the pandemic. It's coming out February 16th. That's a Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on CBC.
And CBC Jam.
And CBC Jam.
Which is, their online app, which is, it's like their version of Disney Plus, I guess.
Yeah.
The Disney Plus of Canada.
Yeah.
And we're back. We're doing our thing. We're singing. I think we sing more. I think we're doing more songs.
Yeah. A lot of more songs. Some bangers.
Yep.
Yeah. I did feel like you broke into song at least once per episode. I watched the first two episodes. Nice. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Great.
Season 2, you got an early sneak peek?
Yeah. Your publicist sent it along when setting this up.
Wow. Nice.
I assume you guys also saw it. Am I not seeing it before you, am I? I mean, you were there also.
Well, actually, we were CGI this season.
The whole season?
Yeah.
You know, that's the safest way. That's
absolutely. I mean, safest way. What's going on in the world?
And there was a good balance between like acknowledging the pandemic and then not making everything about the pandemic, which is a hard sort of divide now with all sort of comedy and culture, where you're like, do we ignore it or...
Yeah.
Is it everything? And I think you guys did find that line.
It was a fun scenario because we wrote most of it. We wrote what we thought was going to be most of it before the pandemic. We had like a normal writer's room for a few months. And then the pandemic hit. And then we just kept on writing. And like, it's almost been, it's been like over a year. It's been a long time. And I don't know how to keep track of time anymore.
But we're not quite at a year since like the full lockdown yet. That was in March, I think.
True. Yeah. But I mean, it's coming up. I'm excited for it to be out.
Yeah. Everyone should watch it. Yeah. Watch it on CBC if you have TVs. Watch it on CBC Gem if you don't. Coming out, you said the 16th?
16th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
Woo!
And thanks so much to both you, Vance, and Tim for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Maddox. Thank you.
And thanks to the audience for listening. We'll have another movie review soon. Bye.
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 Well, that's what we came up with, but we want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter at BreakAWishPod, email BreakAWishPod@gmail.com, join the BreakAWish discussion group on Facebook, and you can support the show by writing a review, telling a friend, or buying a t-shirt on TeePublic. All this information at BreakAWish.ca. This is a Kicks and Giggles Entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, themed by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. So, what would you wish for?
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Now on the Sonar Network, a new podcast from comedy duo Peter and Chris.
So there's a successful podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno. And so I wrote a porno.
They didn't decide what kind of podcast they wanted to do, so they'll just do them all.
Nicolas Cage, this is Peter. I'm part of
Say no more. I know who you are.
A podcast where each episode promises, this time, it's different.
Act 1. Is sitting in a hot car really that hot? We investigate.
Watch on YouTube or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You're going to like the way you laugh. We guarantee it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.